good to be here. It is actually really, really good to be here. It's home. One of the things people ask pastors all the time is, how's your church? It's a strange question. It's a strange question to answer. I mean, I've got John Cooper Clark, the famous punk poet, on the front row. He's meant to look like Elvis, but he doesn't. Some of you know who that bloke guy is. The rest of you are too young, and bless you, and weren't punks. So that's all right. But anyway, it's lovely to be with you. Have you discovered the power of a shout over the last few weeks and months? What do we want? When do we want it? What do we want? Nice. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want? More pay. I remember the 70s. When do we want it?
Now.
Some of you are a bit lackluster. I mean, I've not preached for 4 weeks. Come on, church. You haven't forgotten me. I've discovered the power of a shout over these last few months. Anna Soubry, the MP, was in court this week because just after Christmas she was being interviewed outside the Houses of Parliament, and these guys started shouting, "Soubry is a fascist! Soubry is a fascist!" La 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 la. It was quite a jolly little chant, wasn't it? Except, of course, she isn't a fascist. And the guys who were shouting it were taken to court for calling her one, because you don't want to get that in people's heads if you're an MP, do you? That you might be a fascist. Bizarrely, the man who called her that was also charged with a racially aggravated slur. Isn't that being a fascist? But the power of a chant. Send her back! Send her back! Send her back! Did you see that one? Did you see the people smiling? Like, the people behind Donald were smiling. Not because they are some sort of evil group of people, but because it was a joyful little chant. They don't realize the power of it. One of those American politicians, she came, having been somewhere else in the country, came into an airport this week, and her supporters were there, and they were all chanting, "Welcome home! Welcome home!" That's a better chant, isn't it? There is power in your words. There is power in what you chant. There is power in what you sing. It's not just songs. It is worship. It is powerful. God's got some stuff to say to us this morning about words and about words of power. We're going to think about the word now. In a moment. It's like the word stop. It's a word of power. We've just been to the States, and there's very few give way signs, yield signs, very few. Almost every junction has got a stop. And if you don't absolutely stop and the police see you, they pull you up and ticket you. You have to absolutely stop. It is a word of power. And in Ephesians 3, which we're going to read in a second, there is this word now. How many of us need God to move now? It's a word of power. It's not a demand. God, you must move now because I'm amazing. But God, will you move now because you're amazing? We need, so many of us, God to move now, today, this moment. Because the thing that we've been pushing into, Lord, we have been patient, we've been hanging on, we've been seeking you. But right now, we need you now. Just me? What do we want? And when do we want it?
Now.
It's good. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3. So we've been, the last couple of months we've been in this book. It's an amazing letter of Ephesians. And Ephesians is written essentially in two halves. And the first half beautifully comes to an end this morning. And then we'll have a few weeks off over summer. And then we'll pick this up again late September probably. As autumn kicks off, and we'll finish the whole book. But this is the last little bit of Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just going to concentrate on the last two verses, but we'll read the whole chunk just because it kind of gives us a bit of a feeling of this momentum that Paul brings. He's enthusiastic. He's excited about being the writer to the church this morning. I was excited about coming this morning. I was a little bit nervous. You know, you might have forgotten me. A little bit stressed out about it, but you know what? Excited to be with God's people in his presence. How are the church? The church, you're amazing. Because God is amazing. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Whoa. I haven't finished. I'm just like, that's full, isn't it? I've just been eating American-sized portions, and that's fuller than that. Now, to him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Incredible. It's no wonder that this book is described as one of the finest pieces of spiritual literature ever, is it? It is amazing. And we're going to think about this word now. Now to him. Those of you who've got a little bit of Greek, like me, will know that actually these sentences don't have any commas. And they are long sentences. And this is not the longest sentence in the scripture. That was in chapter 1. But it is a long sentence. And we have to, because of, you know, how we understand the language, we can pretty much tell where the full stops go and where the commas go because of, you know, just because of the literature, how the literature is written. But I want to add a little comma here, because for the last few weeks, Dave and Siobhan and Rob have been in this chapter. And if we're not careful, I'm not criticizing those guys, by the way. I've listened to all three sermons. Brilliant. If you haven't listened to them yet, get online. Amazing. But if we're not careful, as we read Ephesians, it kind of becomes about us. A few weeks ago, I spoke on being God's masterpiece, and it's a bit about us. Ephesians talks about us being loved and encountering that love of God, engaging with that love of God. And it becomes about us. Church sometimes becomes about us. What do you need? I've done it already this morning. What do you need? Why are you here? Well, I get out of it. But actually, this is about God. And Paul and every other scripture writer consistently brings us back to God. Now to him. Now to him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. Now to him. That's what you're here for this morning. You're not here for a buzz. You're not here for the best church coffee, which isn't difficult, in the world. Is it? You're not here for friends. You might not even know why you're here, but you are here to worship him. I mean, I believe in the church. I believe the church is the life and soul of the party. I believe without the church, the nations fail. Look at the nations without churches. I believe the church is the hope of the world because God is here. And the churches that are failing are the ones where God has been removed. Let's not talk about God. Oh, let's just step away from that. No, we are called to worship him. That is what we are for. Now to him. Paul calls us back all the time. All the time. We need to engage with him. That's what the church is here for. Paul, what's he called? Rob. He's not called Paul, is he? I've had a few weeks off. Rob said the other week, didn't he? If you were here, he said, some of us have that sometimes, I'm not feeling it. He said, I wasn't feeling it, and yet I come to church, not because it's about me, but it's because it's about him. Absolutely spot on. Let me encourage you to set your minds on worship. I know I'm preaching to the converted, because you're here. So I know I'm preaching to the converted, but who's missing? Who's missing? Where are our friends? I mean, some of them might be on holiday, you know, they're allowed. But who's missing? Because they're not feeling it. How do we encourage them to re-engage with God? Not just with us, but with God. Because this is now to him. Because he is amazing. Spend a bit of time out of the city, in the countryside, and you see that God is amazing. I mean, if this world is random, if we are just a random set of particles, if we're just in a random pattern of stuff, then let's just go and have a great time and kill some people. Let's stop worrying about disability and sickness and the NHS and the unemployed. Let's shoot them. Don't you think? Shoot them now! Shoot them now! You're not joining me in me chant? Why aren't you? Because intrinsically you know that people have value, right? Who gives them value? He does. And if there is no God, then you have no value. You're just a creature. I mean, you might love your dogs and your cats. I know some of you do. I'm especially careful about that. But, you know, we were getting buzzed all the time by awful creatures. We were in a forest for a couple of weeks. You don't love them, do you? But God says all of his creatures have value. If there is a God, people have value. If there isn't a God, then they don't. I think you have to decide. But I've decided. And I see the wonder of the creation, how the creation fits together. Just the joy of sitting and seeing what God has done. Now to him. Now to him. What do we want? I'd like a cure for dyslexia. When do we want it? Yellow! I'm sure there must have been a better meme, but I couldn't find one. Now, we'd have to live in the tension a little bit here. Because throughout Scripture and throughout your Christian life, if you've had one, you will know that God moves slowly. There's at least one theologian calls him the 3-mile-an-hour God, that our God goes at walking pace. That we ask him for stuff and he says, yeah, just walk with me a bit and we'll see how we get on. That we know that God does not always work at our time. The Scripture says a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. So we know that God does not always do instantly what we need him to do. And yet, at the same time, throughout Scripture, there is this call that he is the instant God, that he hears your prayer and that he answers your prayer. When you shoot that arrow prayer, God hears and he does. And we've got these two things going on. You have to hold them together in tension. But God wants to hear your prayer today. And I believe he's got some answers to prayer now. Now. I was missing my daughter this week. And for those of you who don't know, Kate emigrated to Australia 3 weeks ago. And Angie's had a few kind of FaceTime times with her, and I just hadn't had a proper conversation with her. And I went to bed on Thursday night feeling quite sorry for myself and a bit sad and a bit like, oh, I didn't really want to talk to Kate, and you know, time differences and all that stuff just wasn't happening. And I can't say I prayed, because I didn't. I was just feeling a bit sorry for myself. And Friday morning, I'm in the office and Kate rings me. It was a now. Because God, what's that scripture say? More than you, immeasurably more than you, all we ask or imagine. Some of us think that God only answers the prayers you ask. He doesn't, does he? He often answers the prayers you haven't asked. He often does the things, I mean, we kind of go, oh, can I thank God for that? Because he's done something amazing, I didn't ask him for it. Yes, you can. Because he's God, and he's good. And he's working with our imagination. And I'm sitting there feeling a bit miserable, and God answers the prayer. It's a tiny little thing, but it's important to me. What's important to you? What is it that you need God to do today? It might be something massive. Healing. Job. Something like that. It might be something tiny. Phone call from a daughter. I don't think it matters. I don't think there's a sliding scale. I mean, I often say, you know, you can pray for a parking space, and if you don't want to do that, fine, I'll have it. I'm not bothered if you don't pray for one. I want the favor of God in my life. This is not a health and wealth sermon, but I believe in the favor of God, and I believe the favor of God is for me now. Not when I die, not when I get to heaven, the new earth, wherever it is we end up. Now. What is your prayer? Now. Because God is able. God is able. Now to him who is able. Amazing, amazing phrase. God is able. We get this. We get these words in the Greek that we don't really get in the English. It's a bit of a shame because we lose something of the joy of what Paul is saying here. He says, now, him who was able, that is dunamio, has power. Dunamis. They are dynamite words, literally dynamite words. That's where dynamite comes from. Oh! God is explosive in your life if you let him be. He wants to explode something in your life. He is able. Boom! He is able. Because he's a God of power. And these are words of power. And if you take these words in and apply them into your life, you will experience his power. Want a bit of that this morning? Yes. I want a bit of that this morning. Come on, Lord. There's stuff in my life you need to explode. There's stuff in my life that you need to change. Blow it up, Lord. There's stuff in my life that I want to see different. I was really fed up of losing a little storage cupboard on Tuesday. I'm jet lagged. We got home at 11 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the evening. I just thought, I'll just read the 500 emails that have come in the last 2 weeks. You can get some great stuff from Groupon, can't you? So when I've deleted 495 of them, all rubbish, absolute junk. There's just these disappointing things. Disappointing stuff. It's so easy to get discouraged. And then I'm preaching on this the next day and you start opening this and go, wow! Because I've got a God who's got a power. I'm not going to be discouraged by that little thing. I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell people we're going to do something and God is going to move. Because he promises to. We have a God of power. Our God is able. This is Yahweh we're talking about, and Jesus, Yeshua, we're talking about, and the Spirit of God, that's who we're talking about. The God who is all-sustaining, the God who is everywhere, the God who hears all things and knows all things. That's why he knows you're dreaming. That's why he knows the stuff you're wishing for, because he's all places. He's God, my Redeemer. He is God, my Healer. He is God, my Banner. He is the God who knows me and loves me. He is the God who has forgiven me. He's the God who gives me hope for my life now and hope for my life when it ends. He is the God that is trustworthy, that gives hope to all people. He's a God, isn't he? And my God is able. Now to him who is able. He brings power. He brings power. And his power is immeasurable. Do you ever make words up? Anybody? I know there's teachers in the room, you definitely make words up. At least when I was at school, I didn't understand much of what you were saying, so I'm assuming they were made up. Shakespeare made up 2,000 words in his time, which I think is incredible. My favourite, I think, was Alligator, Shakespeare made up. Loads of them anyway, thousands of them. But Paul does this, not quite on the same level as Shakespeare, but throughout his 12 or 13 letters in the New Testament, he makes up words because he can't express in his own language who God is because it's so big. And he uses this word here, immeasurable, and it's an incredible word. I've lost it. I've lost my little Greek. It is hyperektheriousou. Woo! That's why I didn't put it on the screen. He's taken about three different words there and gone, God is super, super amazing. He is immeasurable. His passion for you is abundant. What he wants to do for you is incredible. He is a God of power. Are you getting the message? Are you getting the message? He's got something for you. What are you asking for? What are you asking for? Perhaps you need a bigger God. Perhaps you need a bigger prayer. I think for many Christians, our God is too small, partly because we've been battered, partly because our prayers haven't been answered. And that's a real challenge, isn't it? Because when your prayers aren't answered, perhaps you start to think God doesn't care or God isn't there. When I was a student minister, I did my student-y stuff in a church in Amersham, And my friend that I was at college with, he did his stuff in a church in London. And the pastor that he worked for wouldn't allow anybody to be prayed for healing. And I was like, oh yeah, I've come across those churches. You know, they don't believe in spiritual gifts and stuff. And he's like, no, it's not that. He said, but the pastor's wife was really ill and then she died. And the church had prayed and prayed and prayed that she would be healed. And she wasn't. And so sad and so disappointed that he won't have it. He won't let anybody pray for healing. And if you think about that for a second, we get that, don't we? Because how many of us have prayed those prayers and they haven't been answered? We've prayed those now prayers, now Lord, now Lord, now Lord, and the Lord has not moved. Don't be discouraged. Don't be like that guy. Don't say, oh, God hasn't answered that one. He doesn't answer any. We need to push into our God. We don't see, he is awesome. And he does love you. And we don't see everything. And we don't see the end from the beginning. But he does. And I know there are those of us in this room who carry disappointment every single day. And I beg you this morning, pray your prayer again. Pray your prayer afresh. Pray your now prayer today. What do we want? Jesus. And when do we want him? Now. Now. There's power in this place. Because there's power in his name. Now to him who gives power. It can sound a little bit like witchcraft. A bit like Harry Potter. Look at Katie because she doesn't like Harry Potter. You know, it's not about us, is it? It's about him. But we are his people. Those of you who know Jesus, you're his people. And you carry power. You need to be a bit bolder with it. You need to be a bit bolder with the request, can I pray for you? Oh, I see you're not very well. Can I pray for you? You know, the first person you pray to be healed might not be healed. Keep going. Second one might not be. Keep going. Third one might not be. Keep going. Fourth one might not be. Keep going. Fifth one might not be. Keep going. Sixth one might not be. Keep going. Seventh one might not be. Keep going. Eighth one might not be. Keep going. Ninth one might not be. Keep going. Tenth one might be. And how happy is the tenth one? Because it's not about you. It's about him and his mighty power at work in you. And if you don't let it out, that person is not blessed. That person is not healed. And I don't know how that works. I don't know why it's like that. But God, for some reason, wants to use you, pack of loonies. Doesn't he? I mean, I love you. So he must, right? Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. Don't stop. He who gives us power. He gives us power for a couple of things. He gives us power to change. To change. Verse 18 talks about this power. In fact, all the way through chapter 3, talks about this power and this mystery. We talked about the mystery a couple of weeks ago. We don't get all the answers. We live in the tension, but we keep going because our God, even though he's a God of mystery, he's also a God who's understandable. And yet he's also a God of mystery. And there is this power to change. And the power to change in Ephesians 3 is to know that you are loved. I've told you 3 times already this morning. That you are loved. Do you believe me? Because if the world knows that they're loved, the world will change. I believe that. If you know you're loved, it changes who you are. It changes how you feel about yourself. It changes how you look at yourself. I mean, I like myself. You might not have picked that up. But I like myself. The stuff about me that I don't like. But I like myself because I know that I am loved. I know that I'm loved in the human sense by a family and a wife and kids who love me. But I know that I am loved by God. I got it. I got it in the early days. Because when I became a Christian, I was depressed and miserable and angry. And I met Jesus. And he liked me. And he loved me. And he spoke it over me. Speak it over yourself. God loves me. God loves me. It is power. Because when we get that, we start to change. And as we change, the world change with us. The world will change with us. incredible verses here in Ephesians 3 about the love of God so wide, so high. I've got the words in the wrong direction. So low. Oh, wonderful love. Siobhan sang 2 weeks ago and I said, I'm going to sing. If she can sing Mysterious Girl, I can sing so wide. How many, I don't know how many, hundreds and hundreds of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs through the last 2,000 years have been written about that one verse. If you can grasp the love of God for you, then that changes who you are. And that changes those, the situations you're in. It changes how you see other people. It changes how you react to situations. It sorts out your road rage and your frustration with your kids and your view of the person you used to be married to and the person you're married to at the moment. It changes everything. The power to change. It's His power, but it's given to you. What will you do with it? The power to know who we are and whose we are is an incredible thing in this world. We live in a world that is looking for itself and it can't find itself. I don't know what I am. I don't know where I belong. I don't know whose I am. We live in a world that's increasingly tribal. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to fight back against that. We need to know whose we are. That He is the God who is able. He is the God of the now. And He wants to do something in your life today. Now to Him who is able. Give Him the glory. Give Him the glory with your life. Give Him the glory. Come to church and give Him the glory. Give Him the glory when you're driving in your car. Give Him the glory when you're walking in the city streets. Give Him the glory when you're in the countryside. Give Him the glory. If you are in a place where He has not answered the now, give Him the glory. And if you are in a place when He has, give Him the glory, because He is worth it. Remind yourself every single day, my God is able. He is the God of now, because He is the only one who's got the power that you need, and you need it now. What's God saying to you this morning? What are you going to do about it? Just before we sing, I want us to read this prayer over ourselves. Rob spoke on this a couple of weeks ago. Was it last week? Last week. And Jeff said to him after the service, you should have prayed that over us. He said, I was going to. So I'll take the glory. I thought I'd mention them both, though, because it was their idea. So I've slightly jigged it, because I think we need to pray this over ourselves. So we're going to pray the first bit ourselves, and I'm going to pray the last bit over you. Does that make sense? So let's pray together. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. And I pray that we, Long Lane Church, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.